Lend me your ears. The studio. Courses and masterclasses.
Welcome to the last podcast in the series, Decolonizing the Voice. Repositioned voices and affirmations. Find a comfortable space in which to listen to the following examples of highly rhythmic spoken vocality. What do I mean by this? The recurrence of pattern is a part of all speech, but some artists heighten the dynamic forms in their compositions so that they reach the ear with greater intensity, create more impact for the listener, and thereby remain more memorable. Think about the specific ways in which the following examples draw you into their atmospherics because of the patterns in the rhymes, phrase timings, volume dynamics and emphasis. Do you hear the repetitions as jagged or soft, punctuated or smooth, for example? What do they feel like in your ear? How do you specifically respond to the repetition and pace, the energy of the sound waves, the consistent pace of the message content, the fusion of sound and thought that reaches beyond the ordinary messaging of speech? Have a brief written or drawn improvisational response to anything that you hear in the sonic examples to follow, and sound them out through the mouthpiece of your own voice in the space that you are in.
In my own lived experience as a vocal jazz artist and songwriter, I have been on a journey to discover my roots and lineage. My voice, passion, and purpose in music has served as a grounding force towards engaging with core themes in discovering my patrilineal and cultural heritage. I feel that the jazz art form has a cellular embedding within my DNA and is therefore expressed in my performative delivery and artistic expression. In finding my voice, I have unearthed a stronger connection to my artistic and cultural belonging, and the jazz art form became an integral element in my voice. This sonic association is an experience of deep revelations through the jazz idiom, which allows me to recover and understand my ancestral past whilst embracing my own emerging vocality. It has opened a pathway to make a deeper connection with my father and to gain a stronger sense of his presence. As a highly gifted rapper and hip-hop artist, my twin brother, Sipho Dube, otherwise known as MC Flavor, would often freestyle to convey and tell stories about his own lived experience. Freestyle, or spitting, as it is colloquially termed, is a way to describe an impromptu and spontaneous rap or word-based vocal performance, which is primarily focused on an individual's experience within the moment. It is therefore improvised and unrehearsed, and serves as a stream of consciousness through spoken word, vocabulary, timbre, rhythmic expression, and rhyme. It is a language. Most of the time, his flow, which is another colloquial term for style of performance or delivery, was based on his personal account of lived experiences. And it is an art form that requires a great deal of skill, technical proficiency, and quick-witted musicality. The professional name for these types of rappers or hip-hop artist is known as MC, short for Master of Ceremonies. During performance, an MC can freestyle on any given topic that rests on their conscience within a given moment, and the experience through listening can be extremely profound, heartfelt, humorous, or even melancholy. And this is an art form which bears significant resemblance to poetry itself. In this following recording, George the Poet invites us in to view life through his lens and his own lived experience as a rapper-turned-poet and Cambridge alum. Here we can hear his sample based on being an artist within the music industry as a celebrated rapper, and how this clashed with his positionality as an MC and the argument based on rap being a commodity of life and survival within the community. In listening to this recording, I am instantly drawn to George's voice as a representative of the community who continues to excel within his path. In hearing his voice, I am reminded of my late twin brother's voice, who was on a very similar trajectory as an MC and rapper. And although emotional, I somehow feel uplifted in knowing that his dreams and goals were very real, valid, and achievable, as we hear and see beautifully demonstrated by George the Poet in his ongoing accomplishments.
Thank you. But I'd like to hear from you guys. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for that. Now the floor's open for any questions. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's good. Yeah.
Some of my poetry or raps. Let me give you a little sample, yeah? Every now and then I go to prisons. I talk to the guys about socialism, our own conditions, how we're supposed to fix them. So a couple of weeks ago, I had to go to Brixton. The man them asked me what I think of rap. I said there's music and politics and we ain't supposed to mix them. People think my issue's with spitting. It isn't. It's that spitting didn't stop you from sitting in prison. And that seems odd to me. Rap's a commodity. It's got to be the best thing adapted from poverty. So if so many men have seen a payout, why aren't their communities guaranteed a way out? The man then took a second to ruminate. And I felt like I started a true debate. So I was getting ready to adjudicate because I love seeing young people communicate. And then one man broke the silence. He said, you see, when I rap, I'm not promoting violence, but I talk about the hood to motivate the younger G's under me that are holding weight. People just get offended because they don't relate. A little sample. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But that's a perfect example. That's literal. That, like, I was in HMP Brixton and we were having this conversation. And because I had this time in Cambridge to sit down and think about the limitations of rap music, the needs of the community, the paradox of this multi-billion-dollar industry not necessarily translating into value and development for the very people that create this. And also being in the music industry and seeing firsthand how our talent is manipulated. Because I had the language and the time to think about these things, going and performing that in jail, it's not hard. It's just an extension of who I am. And that's what I would want, that's what I'd wish on any of you, to come out of this academic process ready to present yourself to the world as you naturally are.
And now, please listen to the work of Akala to hear more about the profound connections between hip-hop and rap cultures and other privileged cultures represented by Shakespeare in some circles, but in new ways, through new voices, becomes more connected to the lived experience of Black British positionality. Not only does this appeal to a more diverse audience, but it brings in diverse aged audiences.
So it's very difficult to take even as an MC who's a professional MC, a lyric you've written over a grime beat. Grime is 140 BPM, very, very fast tempo. And then take that same lyric and put it on a what we consider to be a traditional hip-hop beat, 70, 80 BPMs. It's a very, very difficult skill, even writing now with the music to hand. Yet the iambic pentameter allows us to do just that. But I'll show you what I mean rather than tell you. So listen up. Cue music, please. What you're about to hear, some of you may know of it, some of you may not. It's Shakespeare's most famous poem, Sonnet 18. I haven't doctored it to make it fit to the rhythm, but just listen close. Okay, yo. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art my lovely, you're more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease have all too short a day. Sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dim. And every fair for fair sometimes declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of the fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thy wondrous thinner shade. When in eternal lines to time thou growest, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this and this gives life to thee. As men can breathe and eyes can see, so long lives this and this gives life to thee. Now, as you can see, it sits right there in the rhythm. It's right in the pocket of the beat. Now, we're going to try a completely different style of beat, different tempo of beat, but you're going to see the same lyric, because of this consistent rhythm, can fit. Let's try it. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art my lovely, you're more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's leaves have all too short a day. Sometimes too hot I have ever chance, and often is his gold complexion dim. And every fair from fair sometime declines, my chance on nature change the course untrimmed. But that eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of the fair thou owest, nor shall death brag thy wondrous thinner shade. When in eternal lines the time thou growest, so long as men can breathe or eyes can see, so long lives this and this gives life to thee. As men can breathe and eyes can see, so long lives this and this gives life to thee. What I'd like you all to do is just put your hand on your heart a second. Now, if you feel your heart, hopefully your heart should be beating in sets of two, one off, one on, a D-dum or an I-am as we call it. If it isn't, I do suggest you consult a doctor as soon as possible. But because of that, you can take your hands off your hearts now. But because of that, that's why this rhythm is so intrinsic, you know. We're really, music is imitating the rhythm of life, the sounds of life, the heartbeat of life. And so this rhythm, the iambic pentameter, even though being such a simple rhythm, is intrinsic to so many forms of music.
So as you now may well understand, jazz, hip-hop, rap, spoken word and poetry are all significant cultural idioms which aim to convey and communicate a certain kind of discourse that pertains to one coherent and common theme, life. In this next short recording, the legendary American jazz pianist Bill Evans eloquently describes the improvisatory process through his own creative lens.
I mean, jazz is a certain process that's not an intellectual process. You use your intellect to take apart the materials and learn to understand them and learn to work with them. But actually, it takes years and years and years of playing to develop the facility so that you can forget all of that and just relax and just play.
It has also been said that you, when you're playing, you are very economic. You're like Hemingway telling a story.
Well,
does this pruning down mean an intellectual process, or does it come by playing and playing?
I think it's a matter of taste. And just what you want to hear as an, you know, as a performer, because you play for yourself first, of course. You know, you're the primary audience for yourself. And I just don't like to hear superfluous things. And I hope there aren't too many elements that are superfluous in what I do. You know, there probably are many, but I don't like obvious embroidery. So that's the reason, I think. And I do like to state things as clearly as I can. as concisely as I can. I don't like to make people work hard to understand what I'm doing, or myself either. If you can say it easy, why make it hard? You know, it's
when you start playing, to what extent do you know exactly what it's going to happen? Or do you have any idea?
Only that we've agreed on a basic structural plan harmonically in most of the things that we do. And other than that, certain things have fallen into place, as you could hear. They almost become arrangements. But sometimes we'll destroy some of those things just to try to keep fresh. And then, of course, after the theme is stated, we don't know at all, except that we know about the idiom we're going to be playing in, but we don't know the ideas or how they'll follow each other or how we'll be interplaying or anything like that.
Now you have listened to a few examples. See if you can draw a link between any of the sounds you have just identified and the patterns and characteristics of at least two other key influential voices in your life. If there are none, that is fine. Just allow your breath to let you be present and let your mind wander freely about the possibilities of this thought. Take your time to think if you feel any closer, overall, to being able to name what it is about the quality of the spoken sounds you have identified that allows you to better understand how you listen. Do the voices you respond to best allow you to feel differently about your own voice? Do you feel that your capacity for participation in public sonic life benefits from being matched up with any of the specific kinds of resonance, volume, pace, tone, and emphasis you have identified throughout the broadcasts?
Please listen to the following examples of current spoken word artists in the UK. Reflect on how your listening responses are impacted when the expression of the voice is drawn from a contemporary spoken word field, as opposed to one that's from another historical era. Think too about all the formalities that certain kinds of public speaking has placed on the voice in the past, as well as some of the demands that the published literary field has placed on the live voice.
Malika Booker is a Black British writer, poet, theatre maker and educator. And in this next recording, she personifies Mars in this poem about planetary siblings.
My name is Mars, planet Mars. Sister to Earth, baptized after the god of war in homage to my red complexion, yet I exist, a shadow, or floating dust and nothing. Nothing blooms in my barren body, no water settles here, where dust swirls and floats crimson and grimy. I am desert and hazy skies, sand and thin skin ravaged by the vengeful sun. My craggy, grimy surface yields no fertile bounty. Yea, I am now ill-fated and hard-lucked. Yet, there was a time when vast oceans rippled on the opaque skies. My air was fresh with clean air and sea breeze. A time when my sister Earth floundered, and it was I who was beautiful, bountiful, and blue. Until meteoroids and asteroids, heavy bombardment, flooded water into my soil where it lay dormant until boiled and baked, my moisture sucked dry by a ravaging sun. And so we were reborn. I died while my sister Earth thrives. Yea, trace the surface of my soil. You will see the old days' shadows in craters that held lakes and waterfalls. You will know that I was born. Then I died.
Next up, we have Vanessa Kisuli, who is a Bristol City poet, writer, and performer. In this upcoming recording, Vanessa speaks of her sense and lived experience of belonging and unbelonging as a Black Bristolian in the English countryside.
So I was definitely what I call nature phobic up until maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I suppose all the conversations around climate science, climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, has made me think more about this relation with the earth and lack thereof that a lot of us have. And trying to understand how I can approach that as an artist and as a writer, because my field of expertise, as it were, is storytelling. So I'm really interested in how I can come at that in a way that feels invigorating and exciting and relevant to me, because I feel like the artistic voice when it comes to nature has been dominated by this really austere, somber, Ted Hughes-esque white jowly man. And that's fine. But it does mean that there is this immediate distinction I make between that supposedly authoritative voice when it comes to describing nature or communing with nature, and then someone like me who likes WKD and Netflix. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, well, if I go out into the woods and look at some birds, I don't feel like I have the perspective or the connection that someone else who grew up in an environment like that would have.
And lastly, here is a poem of my own titled My Violet Sky, which was selected as part of a poetry prize and published in the Book of Dreams by the United Press in 2010. My Violet Sky. I see you in my violet sky. I feel you amidst the hazy night. Can you feel my love again when clouds gather for the rain? I see you in my violet skies. I beseech you to return again. Can you hear my longing cries? Do you catch my tears and carry my sighs? I know you. My violet sky. You've the presence that even time cannot defy. You stay with me in the lonely night. And when dawn emerges, I begin to fly. I'll fly with you in my violet sky. Travel light with you by my side. I'll see you in my violet sky, and I'll seize the moment within my mind's eye. Intersectional affirmations. As we near the end of the decolonizing broadcast, please take the time to reflect about your connective bridges or pathways from the previous broadcasts can lead you. Do you have any thoughts or feelings about the alliances, collaborations, and sonic worlds beyond you that will enable you to put your own voice more effectively into action? Write 7 lines of affirmation to your own voice that will serve as your mantra in going forward. But before I go into sharing my 7 affirmations, I would like to quote the late great Dr. Maya Angelou, who said, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you." Affirmation 1, Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Affirmation 2. Ubuntu. Ubuntu is an Nguni Bantu term meaning humanity. It is sometimes translated as I am because we are, or humanity towards others. In Zulu, it's pronounced Umuntu, Ungumuntu, Ungabantu. Affirmation 3. It always seems impossible until it is done. Nelson Mandela. Affirmation 4. Learn the rules like a pro and break them like an artist. Pablo Picasso. Affirmation 5. You may not control all the events that happen to you, but you can decide not to be reduced by them. Maya Angelou, Letter to My Daughter. Affirmation 6. What you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is change it. Maya Angelou. Affirmation 7. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel.
Still, we try. Still, we try. Still, we try to find to make peace and have a say. Still, we try to seal and mend unspoken words that find no end. The broken hearts that find no end. We seek refuge, a safe haven in trying times, and within the loud silence of spoken truth, we find peace and solace in the knowledge of these trying times, in the hope that between our hearts and our minds and the earth itself, we can form some kind of truce. Still, we
Thank you for taking the time to travel with us on this decolonizing vocal journey. We hope that it has provided you with some helpful space in which to consider and reflect on your voice and the voice of others and the ways in which the voice makes a difference to your identity in a white-dominated sonic landscape. We very much hope that the journey taken has provided you with inspiration, dreams, and passions that you can take forward in the ongoing challenge to decenter the whiteness of Sonic UK public life. We hope that the listening and reflection on the broadcast will provide you with the tools of creative resistance in which to move forwards to ensure that the global majority voice is placed, rightly, at the centre of public life in the UK and beyond.
Lend Me Your Ears. The Studio. Recorded as part of Oral Dramaturgies, an AHRC Leadership Fellowship held by Duška Radosavljević at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama.